The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
You don't want to hear real facts on social and political issues? Then stop listening now. Otherwise, stay right here for real issues, real facts, with real people.
Accelerate your culturalization of America.
But when the Dems use the argument that we're all immigrants, that, you know, I want to turn into the Tasmanian devil with two clubs in my hand to clear the roof. They were immigrants that came here because they wanted to be here. They wanted to learn the American. They wanted the American dream. You cannot get the American dream speaking Spanish.
Fast, drunk, and stupid is no way to live your life, son.
I'm going
to
deal with topics and issues that will make you think, make you mad, maybe even get you a little embarrassed. Don't go anywhere. The lines are open. You can reach me at 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563.
You're all so stupid, it is you take lessons.
You're despicable.
Welcome to another session of Sanity right here on The Real Side. I'm Joe Messina, your host. Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining me. I do appreciate it. And that you stayed awake this long is even better. William Federer will join me at the after the next break. And you want to talk about American history? You want to talk about what our founding fathers had in mind? You want to talk about the miracles throughout the years of this country? He's the guy to talk to. Plenty of books on American history. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Anyway, hey, Trump pulls it off in Indiana. How did that happen? Right? How in God's creation did that happen? Because according to Cruz, that Indiana was his. He had Indiana. We want to prove it. The guy is a flake. No, listen. You all making fun of Kasich. What about Cruz? I mean, with the five states last Tuesday, remember early on, he said, oh, we're going to take those states. We need those states. We got a good ground game. Trump has no ground game. Trump is a liar. Trump is a this. Trump is a that. Unlike my opponent, Donald Trump, I told you, there's something about Cruz that just isn't playing right. And now what happens? He loses the five states, and what does he do? He backpedals. Well, you know, they weren't that important anyhow. We're not going to get those in a general election. They're not in play for us anyhow. They don't mean anything to Republicans. I'm like, what is this guy on? You know, what drugs is he taking that's got him all over the place like this? And now tonight, right, losing Indiana and Kasich. What is he waiting for? Is he waiting for the lightning bolt? Is he waiting for God to write on the wall? Get out. Remember the old movie Poltergeist? Right? That's what Kasich needs. He needs to be laying in a hotel room some night. Just hear the voices in his head go, get out. And now Cruz is having the same, I don't even know what you want to call it, like a Groundhog Shadow day for him, right? He's coming back around, and again, what's he saying? Well, Indiana wasn't that important. Well, it was important last week, and the five that you lost last week were important 2 weeks before that. So make up your mind, right? Come on, you with me on this or not? I know some of you are you know, your Cruz supporters to the end. I got it. I know what it's like to have your man start to fail. I mean, again, I was with Scott Walker. God, I was disappointed with that. But the bottom line with it is, you know, Trump's going to take it all the way through. He is going to be the nominee. Unless Cruz does something deceitful, I believe Trump will be the nominee. And all you Republicans over the years, you conservatives, I'm sorry, I'm going to blast on you here. You keep talking about the will of the people. You've been for 8 years talking about how the will of the people have been skirted. You're mad at the mainstream Republicans because they're not listening to you. They're not listening to the will of the people. The will of the people are choosing Trump, and you're blowing them off. Doesn't that make you a hypocrite, too? Now, you could say, I don't agree with the will of the people because I think Trump is going to be a disaster. That's okay for you to say that. And you'd be right in line with what we've all been kind of saying and working through for a long time. But for you to say there's no way he can win, we've got to find a way to get Cruz in, that's not the will of the people. Not when you know, again, we've been told that Trump can't get over 50%, but he's done that several times now for the will of the people. Now, the one I really like are the Democrats. I mean, Hillary had it all over Sanders in Indiana for the longest time. And it's too close to call. I love this. Don't you? But again, like I said, you know, what did we hear about? This is what scares me about Cruz. He something wrong with his meds. He can't keep making up his mind. We have a better ground game in Indiana than Trump has. We have a better this than Trump. We have a better that than Trump. We actually even have a better Trump than Trump. And he lost. And it wasn't even a close loss. You know, if he lost by a couple of points, then he could come then he could come back at this and he could say, hey, look, we obviously didn't get our message out properly. Yeah, we lost by 2%. And that's close enough to say, hey, we were almost there, we were just late to the party. Then he'd have something to step back on, but he has nothing to step back on. Absolutely nothing. Anyway, I'm Joe Messina, your host. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. I appreciate the time you spend with me on the air, in the chat room, texting, tweeting, being part of the conversation, 855-REAL-JOE. Guys, this is a very important election. And I know some of you are very upset. I've got your emails. Some of you are very upset with me over the fact that I'm not on your page. I'm not pushing your guy Cruz. I'm not pushing Trump either. And I'm sure not pushing Kasich. In no way. That guy scares me. At every level, he scares me. He's won one state, Ohio. And his whole claim to fame is, hey, polls show that I'm the only one who can beat Hillary. And no Republican has ever won. God, he's insane. No Republican has ever won the presidency without winning Ohio. I am the only candidate that has won Ohio. And I'm going, wow, my God. That is definitely left progressive logic. I don't want him. For that reason alone, I don't want him. So I don't know what you conservatives are going to do. You hardcore Cruz conservatives, you're kind of screwed, aren't you? Hey, I'm Joe Messina, your host. Hang tight. William Federer joins me after the break. You don't want to go far, I'm telling you. You will enjoy this guy. Anyway, you are listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional items. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Austin Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. I appreciate the time that you're spending with me on the air, in a chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Listen, I want to get to my guest because I have such a good time when he's on with me. William Federer, or Bill Federer as I know him, is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc. It's a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble history. Now, Bill's American Minute Radio features broadcast daily across America and on the Internet. Bill, thanks for being with me. I always appreciate your time with me.
Great to be with you, Joe.
You know, I talk about, I know during the break I was telling you what we're going to talk about, but when I hit this little piece on you, we talk about America's noble history. It seems that some people only want to talk about America's dark history. They want to talk about, you know, slavery and what it did, to groups of people that came here from Europe. But we are one of the few countries that go out of our way to work harder to right those wrongs. We don't live in that. We don't. Am I wrong, or are we just stuck there?
Well, when you contrast, there's never been an abolitionist movement in Muslim countries. right? So in America, the abolitionist movement was the Republicans. The Democrats had slavery in the states. The Democrats started the KKK and so forth. And so it was a Republican-led movement to abolitionists and free the slaves. There's never been an abolitionist movement in Muslim countries. There's never been an Islamic Abraham Lincoln. Because the dilemma is that Muhammad owned slaves. And so for them to condemn slavery, they would have to condemn Muhammad. And so Islam enslaved an estimated 180 million people in Africa, plus over a million Europeans. And so there were whole Catholic orders in Europe through the Middle Ages called the Trinitarians. The head of the order was called the Ransomer, and they would collect alms and donations and go under a white flag to North Africa to get your friend back. Whole coast of Italy didn't have a woman of childbearing age for generations because the Muslim pirates would come up, sort of like Boko Haram, or capture the women and take them, sell them into harems. And so they had slavery for 8 centuries before America was ever discovered.
Wow.
And so that is some of the background. But slavery, when you go back, the most common form of government in world history is what? It's kings.
Correct.
Pharaoh, yeah. Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsars. The beginning of human writing was Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley around 3 or 4,000 B.C. And so we're around 2080, so 4-2, that's around 6,000 years of recorded human history, which in a sense is not that long. 6,000 years is just 60 people living 100 years each back-to-back. We're talking 60 grandmas, and you're all the way back to the beginning of recorded human history. But the most common form of government is what? It's kings.
Right.
They go by different names: Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, Emperor, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Attila the Hun. And it's very hierarchical. So if you're friends with the king, you're more equal. If you're not friends with the king, you're less equal. You're an enemy of the king, you're a slave, or you're dead. It's called treason. And so this has been the norm. And as these kingdoms go on, the kingdoms get bigger and bigger and bigger. Genghis Khan kills 30 million people from Korea to Hungary. You have the Muslim sultans and the Byzantine emperors and the King of Spain, France, and Austria. Aztec Mexico had slavery, and they would capture people in battle and, you know, take them to the top of the temples and tear their hearts out to the sun god and so forth. And so it was a norm, unfortunately, for world history. When America was breaking away, we were breaking away from the most powerful king in the world, the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
And he controlled 13 million square miles and a half a billion people. And America decided we didn't want the king thing, and so we separated from it. And Jefferson's first draft of the Declaration got rid of slavery. It condemned the king for having stopped every effort of the colonies to end slavery. But a couple southern states wouldn't go along, and out of the immediate pressure of the situation, they said, well, let's just get free first, and then we'll worry about slavery. How to date we wish they would have stood strong and got rid of it at the very beginning, would have saved us a civil war. But slavery was on its way out. Slavery was outlawed, the importation of slaves, in 1807. But what happened was, with the Louisiana Purchase doubling the size of the country, and with the Mexican secession adding another 500,000 square miles, there was this rush to bring this new territory into the states as slave states. And so now, what was on its way out at the time of the founding is now getting a resurgence. And so you had a Christian-led Second Great Awakening revival, which sent missionaries to, you know, Caribbean and Burma and Hawaii. But the Second Great Awakening revival fueled the abolitionist movement, a Christian-led movement to end slavery. And
you know, Bill, some people would say that, you know, Jefferson had slaves, Washington had slaves, and, you know, it was kind of disingenuous for them to be fighting to rid us of slavery when they owned them themselves. What would you answer them?
Well, you read the history. There was the abolitionist movement just getting going at that time. And so, again, during the colonial era, the King of England stopped every effort of the colonies to try to get rid of slavery. A bunch of states tried to get rid of slavery, but the king wouldn't let them. The Quakers kept bringing up getting rid of slavery. So often it was called the Quaker Memorial. It's like every time you get Quakers together, they're talking about ending slavery. And so once we broke from the king, now was this idea that, hey, let's do this. So you had two different groups. One said, let's transition out of slavery. You don't want to take these people who do not have an education, they cannot read, they don't have certain skills, and just put them out of the house any more than you would have your teenage son pushed out the door when he doesn't know how to support himself.
Right.
And so you had this one group that felt like it was a more responsible avenue to take your time. And here's Robert E. Lee's wife training the women to prepare them for freedom. And she was teaching them to read, teaching them how to sew and weave and mend. And so it was this movement that was starting in America. The abolitionist movement, they were called radical Republicans. They said, end slavery now. Let's just end it. And yes, it solved the slavery issue, but it also created other problems where you had lots of people that couldn't read, and so it ended up becoming more dependency on the government. But slavery was wrong. It's always been wrong, and it's been the Christian faith. It's been Jesus said, I came to free the captive. You see, you know, Hammurabi's code about the time of Abraham, it had slavery part of the code, and it was very hierarchical, where Hammurabi was exempt from following his law because the law was the king's will. And so it was this stratified society. And so when we go back, it was actually Israel that came up with the idea that everyone is equal, male, female, made in the image of the Creator. Where every other country was, it's this God, King, people line that yep. The Creator gives the rights to the king dispenses it to the people. And so since the king is God's lieutenant, he gets to decide who benefits him is more equal and who doesn't benefit him is less equal. Israel's this word came up with, it said, every man and woman is made in the image of the Creator. Even the stranger living amongst you is their law.
We got to hit a quick break and we come back. I want to talk about the current political tone and have we ever seen that in our history before? I'm Joe Buscini, your host. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go far. More with Bill Federer. Really, don't go far. Joe Messina, host of the Real Side Radio Show here. Did you miss the Affordable Care Act enrollment deadline? Can't bring yourself to sign up for a health care plan that's inadequate, restrictive, or just plain bad? Before you get tagged with all those penalties that go along with not having health care, get in touch with my friends at Liberty HealthShare. That's right, the people at Liberty HealthShare have plans that will work for you, and you can sign up at any time during the year. Liberty HealthShare plans also give control of your plan back to you. That's right, you will again have the freedom to choose what's right for you and your family. Plans are available for individuals and family members, not including the dog. Even if you already have enrolled in a health care plan, it's not too late. Memberships in Liberty Health Share plans can replace what you have now and allow you to go to any hospital and any doctor you choose. You don't believe me? Call them at 855-585-4237. Find out about their contract-free plans. Now, don't wait. Do it now. Let me finish first, though. Get informed or visit libertyhealthshare.org. Tell them Joe sent you. They won't care, but it sounds good.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pillett. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Bad news, Americans. You're probably stockpiling for a disaster all wrong. When the big one comes, you'll need more than that poisonous, over-salted survival food you now see everywhere. There are three vital things that your survival food is missing, and it's the first thing to disappear from grocery stores. Go to superfoodradio.com now to see my story of how I nearly died when I was forced to live on a popular survival food. That's superfoodradio.com, and I'll show you how everything you've been told about survival food is dead wrong. Go to superfoodradio.com now.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
Seems everything I buy these days has got a foreign name. From the kind of car I drive to my video game.
I got a nighttime camera, a Sony color TV.
Are back. I'm Joe Messina, your host. And let me tell you what, with 92 million Americans out of work, maybe more, you better be buying American-made. Right? That's my personal opinion. Okay? I am Joe Messina, your host. You are listening to The Real Side. Appreciate the time that you're spending with me. I want to get right back to my next guest. Love it when he's on the show. William Federer is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Now, Bill's American Minute, and you should go grab it. You should go listen to it. We'll put the links up on our website. His radio features broadcast daily across America and by the Internet. His faith in history, television, on TCT Network, on stations across America. You got to check this guy out. If you haven't heard him before, if you haven't grabbed any of his books, head up to his website and check him out. Bill, again, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Listen, let's jump into the current political tone. I mean, everybody says that we've never seen anything like this. I can't believe, you know, even Newt Gingrich said, I wouldn't even know how to run for president today. Is that entirely true? I mean, is this something unique that we're seeing happen today?
Well, when you look at the global quest for power, again, 6,000 years, there's this eternal drive to rebuild the Tower of Babel. And with kings and pharaohs and Caesars, it's the lust for power. And it's always there. Unfortunately, I think it goes back to the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel. So you put some babies in a playpen, one of them takes a rattle from the others. Put some kids on a playground, one of them is the bully hogging the ball. Put some girls in a junior high clique, one of them is the diva, and if you're not her friend, you're ostracized, right? Put some people in an inner city, one of them is the gang leader. You put them in the woods, one of them is the Indian chief. It's just this norm, this lust for power. And, we've seen it before. You see Plato, 380 BC, there was this experiment in Athens called the democracy. Athens had a king named Draco around 600 BC, and he had the first written laws. Prior to then, kings would rule by their whims and their caprices, and you could get killed one day and praise the next. And so the people said, look, Draco, at least write this stuff down so we can have some structure to our lives. And he did. He wrote the first written laws for Athens, but it was the death penalty for for every other thing. So they're called draconian laws, very, very harsh, right? Well, they get a new king, 592 BC, called Solon. And Solon invented democracy and left town, so they had to do it. So in a democracy, everybody every day had to go to the market and talk politics. And if you did not keep up with politics every day in Athens, you were called an idiotus, an idiot. And so if there's a king and you have an agenda, you got to get in to see the guy. So the Chinese emperors would have 2,000 concubines and the Mandarin eunuchs would keep them. And you have to bribe these mandarins with money just to get in to see the emperor. Well, in Athens, they had no emperor, no pharaoh, no king. The people made the decisions. Well, if you have an agenda, how do you pitch it to the whole city? Well, you get them together in a big outdoor theater, and you put on plays, comedies, and tragedies. And so in the comedies, you'd ridicule, buffoon certain points of view, and the tragedies, you'd honor and extol as noble other points of view. And people would leave the theater saying, I don't want to be like that poor guy that was ridiculed to death. Like Saul Alinsky says, ridicule is the most powerful weapon. And so from that time till now, theater is always political in a country where the people make the decisions. So think of your favorite sitcom, movie, or show. There's a character you identify with. They're cute. They're funny. They're the hero. And as the series goes on, this character begins to make morally compromising decisions. Little lying, little cheat, little lust, little revenge. And you find yourself apologizing for him, saying, yeah, I know James Bond is with a woman he's not married to, but he's about to save the world. So can we get on with the story? And it minimizes something that before was a big deal in your life. And then they usually make people that hold to old traditional values look like simpletons and bumpkins and idiots and backwards. And by the time you turn off the show, you're like, I don't want to be like that guy that was made a fool of. And the other person, they were cool. And so theater is always political in a nation where it's the people that are making the decisions. So what happened in Athens? Well, they 380 BC, Plato, he was the disciple of Socrates and the teacher of Aristotle, who taught Alexander the Great. And so Plato said that the city government would go through five stages. He said it was first rule of the capable. These are people that know how to run farms and businesses. They know how to run city governments. They're just really responsible people. He called them lovers of principle and truth. They do a good job no matter what you say about them. The second group, once you get involved in politics, Plato called them lovers of fame, lovers of honor. These are people that have no experience actually running anything successfully. They just somehow got famous. Maybe they were a Greek actor that everybody liked or a Greek Olympic athlete. And because they love fame, they hate being defamed. So this group, you can manipulate by public opinion polls. Right, so the first group, they'll do what's right no matter what. Second group, they'll bend based on the winds of public opinion. And since they don't actually know how to run stuff successfully, the second group is tempted to take a little money out of the city treasury to pad their retirement, a little money to some brother-in-law's construction company, a little money to some supporter that can funnel it back into their campaign. And before you know it, it turns into a third category called an oligarchy, a rule of few, an insider clique. Plato called them lovers of money. These are people that raise taxes on everybody else, but they exempt themselves. They pass laws that everybody else has to obey, but they exempt themselves.
Well, that sounds like the Congress we have today.
Yeah, and if you're their friend, you get the pork, you get the projects, you get the insider dealings, you get the waivers, and if you're not their friend, well, you get taxed and audited. It turns into a division in society of the rich connected and those that are not connected, and they're poor. And, Plato says, then comes the fourth category. There's domestic unrest, and the people throw the bums out, and they set up a democracy. He says, at first, a democracy is the most charming form of government.
I like that.
It's like a bazaar where you can pick any viewpoint. It's like an embroidery patchwork with lots of colors, and the chief characteristic of a democracy is lovers of tolerance. So you go from lovers of principle and truth to lovers of fame and honor to lovers of money to lovers of tolerance. It's great. Everybody tolerates each other. Then they tolerate people that are a little bit off. Then they tolerate people that are a lot off. And then they follow tolerating crimes and crooks and immorality and all kinds of terrible things. And nobody cares. And then Plato says it creeps into the family. And the sons are disrespectful to the fathers. And if you correct them, they just shake their head and walk on. And then he says it creeps into their morality. And Plato says the manner of Democrats, and that's his word because he's describing a democracy. He says the manner of Democrats is every man does what is right in their own eyes, and the young man gives into libertinism and useless and unnecessary pleasures, even incest and unnatural union. Yes, that's what he's talking about. And this society begins to crack, fall apart, and then they begin to raid the treasury. And they say, look, it's a democracy. All we got to do is vote, and we can spread this money around. Well, then the treasury's empty. And they'd say, where can we get more money? The rich people. They vote to take the money from the rich people. Now there's no rich left. Now there's a shortage. And they begin to say, well, don't cut back on what I'm used to getting. Don't take from my Social Security. Don't take my welfare. And it turns into chaos.
Well,
they
wait a minute.
Bicker and fight. And then they begin to say, can't someone come along and fix this mess? And that's the fifth stage. Someone comes along promising to fix it all. People surrender their rights and freedoms. And the next thing you know, he turns out to be a tyrant.
Now, Bill, I think you've adapted that to our to the current government. That's what I think you've done. It sounds like what we have now.
Yeah, it was 380 BC that Plato wrote this.
Wow.
And, but I wrote it. It's all in my book called Rise of the Tyrants, my brand new book. But anyway, so it's interesting. As they're seeing this domestic chaos and they're begging someone to come in and fix it, up comes this last stage, this person that Plato says at first he appears above ground as a protector. And he's very eloquent and gives these great speeches, and people fall in love with him. And then they begin to see him get too powerful. And they cast it in his teeth that he's getting too powerful. And he has the choice, get rid of power, which he is not inclined to do, because Plato called him a lover of power, or get rid of the people confronting him. And so he purges his administration and his military of anybody that has virtue. All that he has left is yes men, because he just wants people to do what he tells them. And then it says, who does he get to replace his former friends? He frees the slave, the criminal, the convict, the illegal alien, and he arms them, and they become his mob that goes around and punishes anybody that disagrees with him politically. Finally, he stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant. So a democracy is a temporary form of government and only lasts as long as the people have morals and virtue and self-control. When they give up, their morals and virtue and self-control turns into this chaos, which out of which they beg some leader to take over, and he turns into a tyrant.
Bill, we got to go for a break again. You know what? If somebody had tuned in the middle of that, they would have thought you were talking about our current government. I couldn't see how they wouldn't think that. Anyway, we'll be back in just a minute. We're going to talk about how dangerous it is that our young people really don't understand our history. I'm Joe Messina, your host. You listen to The Real Side on GCN Live. Hey, hop up on the website, therealside.com. You can watch live, listen live, take the poll. Lots going on up there. Don't be gone too long. You'll miss a lot. I promise.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first time ever, U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
I can't make up my mind. I haven't got a brain. Only straw.
How can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
I don't know. But some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they?
Yes, I guess you're right.
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. I appreciate the time you spent with me on the air. In the chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation, 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. I want to get right back to my guest. I always love when he's on. I never have enough time for him. William Federer joins me. He's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. He's also got, listen, head up to his website. I'm going to put it up on the website, and we'll put it up on Twitter here in a minute. And you got to check out what he's got going up. He's also written a book recently called Rise of the Tyrants. And tell us, forgive me for saying it this way, but give us the Reader's Digest of what the Rise of the Tyrants is about.
Well, again, it's an overview of world history, and the most common form of government is a king, Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, and as America decided to break from King of England, they wanted to run as far away from a king as possible.
Right.
So they took the power of a king, broke it into three branches, separated it federal to state level, tied it up with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. All the Constitution is in a sense, is a bunch of hurdles to prevent the rubber band from snapping back into the hands of the king. Unfortunately, after every crisis, we see a gradual reconcentration of power. So it was great that Lincoln ended slavery, but in the process, a lot of rights went from the states to the federal government. It was great that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to get us through the Depression, but he concentrates power with his New Deal programs.
Wow.
It was great that Lyndon Johnson wanted to end poverty with his great society welfare state, but he concentrates power into the federal government. It was great that George Bush wanted to make sure there was no more terrorist attacks, but he concentrates power with the NSA and the government reading all your emails.
Oh, yeah.
And now the new president, no matter what the crisis is, the answer is the same. Let him have more power and he will take care of it. The problem is, when you do, you are fundamentally transforming your form of government from the people ruling themselves back to a king.
Yep.
Now you add to the mix philosophers that have noticed that in times of crises, people will relinquish their power to a leader. I mean, even in Rome, when they had, during their republic era, a crisis, they would appoint someone as a temporary dictator, a term that lasted for 1 year, and the famous one was Cincinnatus. They get him off his farm, he leads them to victory, and then after the year's over, he goes back to his farm. But they understood that in times of crises, you have to let somebody be in charge. And so, 500 years ago, Italy was a bunch of city-states, Venice, Genoa, Naples, Florence, Siena, and they all had armies and navies and fought. And a guy named Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop the infighting. So he writes a book called The Prince, where he advocates the ends justifies the means, the end of one prince controlling all of Italy. It's such a good end, because it'll stop this infighting, that any means necessary to get there is justified. Lie, cheat, steal. So if a prince conquers the city, they would hate him. But if he paid criminals to kill cows, burn barns, create crisis and terror, the people would cry out for help. The prince would come in, kill the very criminals he bribed. Nobody would know the better for it, and they'd praise the prince as a hero. So it's good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You go around the back of the house and set it on fire, and then you go around the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher, and they'll pay anything for it, and thank you for being there. So it's called Machiavellianism, where you create or capitalize on a crisis to consolidate control. That influenced somebody named Hegel. If I have a minute, I'll share on him.
Yeah, I want to get to the young people, but go ahead, share on him.
Well, real quick, Napoleon conquers Germany, Prussia very easily, and afterwards the king says we need to strengthen the state. And so Hegel says the state is God walking on earth, and he came up with something called Hegelian dialectics to concentrate power. How does it work? It's a triangle. One corner is a thesis, the opposite is an antithesis or antithesis, and the top corner is a synthesis. It sounds complicated, but it's not. In other words, you start off, then you create a problem that's real bad, and everybody is happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. That becomes the new thesis. You create another problem that's real bad, and everybody's happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. You do this over and over again until the people move from ruling themselves back to a king. And so Karl Marx said, well, how do you create a crisis that's real bad? Well, you send in agitators, agent provocateurs, provoking agents, community organizers, labor organizers, and their job is to find the fault lines, the tension lines just under the surface. Find the people who have grievances, who feel like they've been wrong, and you organize them, and you rub the resentments raw until violence breaks out and there's bloodshed, then everybody is willing to let go of their freedoms to have order restored. And so they would organize the proletariat against the bourgeois, which is the working class against the business owners. They would organize the blacks against the whites, the Muslims against the Christians, the Catholics against the Protestants, the Hutus against the Tutsis in the Congo and Rwanda. They really don't care who the two sides are. Their goal is a destabilizing crisis that is so bad, everybody's willing to surrender their freedoms. Now, it works best if the people are not Christian. Even Napoleon said, religion is what keeps the poor from murdering the rich. So if you have poor Christians, they'll just suffer. But if you get rid of Christianity, then you just got raw human passion. And you say, you want what they have. You've been wronged. You have grievances. Follow me. We'll help you right it. And then you organize them, and they overthrow the government, and then a dictator takes over. 45 countries fell to communist dictators this way.
Wow.
People say, well, communism, isn't that where everybody owns everything equally? Well, let's think just a little deeper. Who decides who lives in the nice house and who lives in the dumpy house? Somebody in the government dictates those things. Well, whoever ultimately dictates those things is the dictator. So every communist country has a dictator. Stalin, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Castro, Kim Jong-un. The Communist Party members are the new royalty. They get to live in the nice houses, the nice neighborhoods, the nice shops to shop in, and the people are the peasants. And so we're back to this spectrum of power. One side's total government, the other side's no government. No government's anarchy unless people have internal morals and virtues. Israel was the one who came up with the motivating force, because why would you follow an internal moral or virtue? Why would you deny a selfish tendency? Israel introduced this important ingredient, a God who was watching everyone. He wants you to be fair, and he will hold you accountable in the future. So you're about to steal. You know you can get away with it. And then you think, God is watching. He wants me to be fair. He's going to hold me accountable. Maybe I should hesitate stealing. And it creates something in your head called a conscience. If everybody in the country believes God is watching, he wants me to be fair, he's going to hold me accountable, everybody's motivated to follow these internal morals, and you can have complete order in society without policemen following everybody around. Maximum liberty and freedom. Now, it only works with a God of the Bible. An Islamic Allah God says, well, there's an infidel woman there, you can rape her, it's okay, you can lie to this infidel, that one. The God of the Bible says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. That every person, male, female, is made in the image of the Creator. Even the stranger living amongst you is under the same law that you're under. You compare that to the Islamic dhimmi status law, where a stranger has no rights. And so as long as you got this God, the system works. You get rid of this God, then you just have internal morals. Why keep them? Some will out of habit. Others are going to say, forget this. And they're going to rob and steal, smash windows, have riots in the streets, have buildings on fire. And then the people are going to beg, please, government, come in. And they'll come in with their militarized police and go house to house and collect everybody's guns. And, yeah, they'll restore order. But when the dust settles, you'll have fundamentally transformed your country back to a king.
Yeah, I'm amazed at people. Again, this goes back to what we're going to start, what we were going to talk about, and still will to a degree, is how if our young people don't understand how history works, if our young people don't really know how we got to be the country we were, I'm putting it that way, we were, we could easily end up back in a dictatorship. We could easily end up back in a kingship type of thing, couldn't we?
Right. Well, there's a communist tactic called deconstruction. And it's you separate the people from their past, get them into a neutral where they don't know where they came from, and then you can brainwash them into the future that you have planned for them. It's a sales technique. If I was a toothpaste salesman, the first thing I would do is to say negative things about the toothpaste you are currently using. You're using that old stuff, it'll eat the enamel off your teeth. Ooh, you're repulsed by it. Now I have you into a neutral. You're open-minded. What are all the toothpaste out there nowadays? And then I can give you my pitch for this tartar control breath freshener. And so they go to the kids in the schools, and they say, well, America's founders owned slaves, took land from Indians, they were chauvinists. Ooh, the kids are repulsed by them. Now you got them into this neutral where they're sort of open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there nowadays? And then you can give them your pitch for the LGBT and socialism and Islam and so forth. And so Europe went through this. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian past, right? It used to be Catholic, then a Protestant Reformation and had neighborhoods. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian past into a secular neutral with the French Revolution. Robespierre putting a prostitute in Notre Dame Cathedral, covering her with a sheet, said, this is the goddess of reason, let's worship her. They turned churches into temples of reason, chopped off 40,000 heads in Paris, and Napoleon spread this French secularism all around Europe, and Europe became secular. And they say, hey, bring in whatever you want, the gay agenda, the, and now Europe's becoming Islamic. And there's, the Europeans are having one kid per family. Muslims are having multiple wives with lots of kids per family. The number one name for newborns in London, Milan, and Brussels is Mohammed. There's 5 million Muslims in Paris, and they're taking over neighborhoods, and they're putting up signs saying ZUS, Zonas Urbanas Sensibles, sensitive urban zones. And 10 years ago, there were 3 mosques in Germany. Today, there's over 200. And number one crime in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark is Muslim immigrant men raping European women. Most of southern Holland is Moroccan Muslim. And the Europeans are scratching their heads thinking, how did we get here? Well, you went from a Judeo-Christian past into a secular free sex, LGBT, anything goes neutral. Now you're going into an Islamic future. It's this drive neutral reverse scenario. And so it's being applied to America. Once that happens,
Bill,
we're temporary period.
Yeah, we're up against the time, but I'm going to do something special here. We're up against the time. Just bear with me for a second. You're listening to The Real Side, not the right side, not the wrong side, but the real side of the issues. I'm Joe Messina, your host. You're listening to The Real Side on GCN Live.